This is the Electronic Intifada Newscast. I'm Nora Barrows-Friedman, Associate Editor at the Electronic Intifada. It's day 432 of Israel's genocide in Gaza. Here's a brief summary of some of the latest developments this week in Gaza. Israel's campaign of systematic slaughter, forced displacement, destruction, and starvation of North Gaza is now in its 10th week, while airstrikes and massacres continue across all areas of the coastal enclave. Palestinians in North Gaza endured more rounds of forced displacement this past week, as Israeli forces ordered approximately 5,500 people sheltering in schools in Beit Lahia to go to Gaza City. Journalist Ibrahim Al-Khalili reported from North Gaza as people were forced to leave amidst Israeli tank shelling on December 5th.
After the new Israeli evacuation orders, which have been issued this early morning, as you can see the scene here, civilians have been evicted and forced to displace from their homeland. Civilians are facing unimaginable suffering as they came back empty-handed, and as you can hear, the artillery shelling taking place in this area, the mass destruction in Jabalia, as you can see. This is a new destruction inflicted to the area in the light of the ongoing Israeli ground incursion taking place.
That was journalist Ibrahim Al-Khalili in North Gaza. The United Nations says that about 8,000 people have been forcibly displaced to Gaza City from the northern areas since the end of November. Earlier today, on Wednesday, an Israeli attack in Beit Lahia killed at least 20 people living in the multi-story home of the Abu Tarabish family. On Tuesday, the Israeli army bombed a residential building in Beit Hanun in the corner of northeastern Gaza, killing 25 people and injuring dozens more. The Gaza government media office stated, quote, "The occupation army knew that this residential building contained dozens of displaced civilians and that the majority of them were children and women who were displaced from their homes and civilian residential neighborhoods." In Beit Lahia, Israeli forces carried out a series of massacres in and near the Kamal Adwan Hospital in the last several days. On Tuesday, at least 30 Palestinians were killed and missing under the rubble of a home near the hospital after a massive airstrike on the home of the Abu Tarabish family. On Friday, December 6th, Israel launched yet another attack on the hospital itself, including firing directly on an ambulance near the hospital compound. Field teams with EuroMed Human Rights Monitor reported that Israeli forces used Palestinian detainees as human shields, quote, forcing them to warn hospital staff that all displaced persons and companions of patients must leave the premises and head to areas controlled by Israeli forces. Many were arrested upon arrival, while others were forced to flee to a checkpoint in the civil administration and eventually to Gaza City. Israel bombed the hospital's vicinity while ordering medical staff and patients to leave, according to EuroMed. The siege lasted several hours, leaving between 30 and 50 people dead in nearby streets and homes. A surgical delegation from Indonesia were also forcibly evacuated from the hospital by the Israeli army, leaving the hospital without a single surgeon. Here is the Indonesian medical team delivering a press conference immediately after they were ordered to leave by Israeli forces.
We're from Indonesia. We just come from Kamal Adwan Hospital. There is two warning for us to evacuate from Kamal Adwan Hospital, and they heavily bombing the hospital now. And there is a lot of medical staff stationed out there and stay there. From the last news, they told us that already 50 Shahid in a hospital. They are supposed to stop bombing the hospital or to evacuate the person there. Alhamdulillah, we walk from Kamal Adwan until Salah Al-Din Street, and the ambulance already pick up us. Alhamdulillah. please pray for our college medical staff and people in around Kamal Atwan Hospital.
According to the hospital's director, Hussam Abu Safia, four members of the medical staff were killed, many others injured, and the hospital is now without surgeons. Dr. Abu Safia added that the Israeli forces targeted oxygen generators, leaving only two inexperienced surgeons to handle critical cases. Despite their limited expertise, they began performing surgeries to save 20 critically injured individuals. Less than 24 hours after Israeli drones bombed Kamal Adwan Hospital, Israeli forces attacked it again, killing a 16-year-old, Mahmoud Abu Al-Aish, who used a wheelchair while he was heading to the radiology department, according to the Gaza Health Ministry. 12 others, including patients, their companions, and medical staff, were injured in the assault. On Saturday, December 7th, Israel once again targeted the hospital. Dr. Abu Safia reported on Saturday that Israel had targeted the intensive care unit and surgery wards, as well as the engineering and maintenance departments. The attacks injured three children, including one who is already hospitalized, he said. He described the assault as barbaric. Speaking to the health ministry in Gaza, Dr. Abu Safia said that the hospital was hit with more than 100 projectile bombs, along with quadcopter drones, which fired at every window on the west side of the hospital building. Over the past week, Kamal Adwan Hospital has suffered more than 10 direct attacks, injuring over 22 people, including medical personnel, according to Euromed Human Rights Monitor. Israeli forces repeatedly attacked the Indonesian hospital, also in Beit Lahia, this past week, injuring three medical staff and six patients on Sunday, December 8th. Yesterday, on Tuesday, the health ministry issued an urgent appeal on behalf of staff and patients at the Indonesian hospital, saying that 60 wounded patients are at risk of death due to the lack of food and water. Quote, the humanitarian situation inside the hospital has become extremely dangerous as the wounded lack basic needs, which increases their suffering under the difficult conditions imposed by the occupation forces, the health ministry added. In Al-Mawasi, a massive tent city on the sand dunes on the coast of Gaza, Israel again bombed displaced people on December 4th, burning them alive. According to Euromed Human Rights Monitor, 22 Palestinians, including children, were killed in the assault, and nearly 20 suffered burn injuries. Around 6 p.m. on December 4th, Israeli aircraft and helicopter gunships, quote, fired multiple missiles at the tents of displaced people in Mawasi Khan Yunus, an area Israel claims to be a safe humanitarian zone. The displaced people were burned alive in their ramshackle tents. Based on details collected by Euromed Monitor's field team, the Israeli army, quote, deliberately targeted civilians. Euromed says that Israel first ordered an evacuation of part of the area and an Israeli helicopter fired a missile at the displaced people as they were evacuating. The raids were subsequently repeated across a 700-meter area, directly striking the displaced people's tents and setting them ablaze. The Gaza Director of Medical Aid for Palestinians stated that the attack on Al-Mawasi, quote, has proven once again that nowhere is safe in Gaza from Israeli military attacks. People there have been left in a constant state of fear and psychological distress, haunted by the fact that there is no place for them to shelter. In central Gaza, Israel has been targeting areas in Nusayrat, Burej, and Deir Ebalah. At least five Palestinians were killed today, on Wednesday, in Nusayrat and Deir Ebalah, as Israeli aircraft bombed central Gaza. The UN reported that 34 Palestinians, including at least six children, were killed in an Israeli attack on a residential building on December 6th in Nusayrat refugee camp. On December 8th, at least 11 Palestinians, including children, were killed and bodies were ripped to shreds when Israel bombed a house in Burej. In Nusayrat, four children, three boys and a girl between the ages of 5 and 11, were killed near a local food distribution point where they were in line for a meal on December 4th, according to UNICEF. The Children's Agency stated, quote, day after day, week after week, for nearly 14 months now, Gaza has been nothing short of hell on earth. No child should have to endure such atrocities and carnage, and no parent should have to bury their child. Gaza has become a graveyard for children and families. The overall humanitarian response in Gaza is teetering on the brink of full collapse. The lives of virtually all children are at risk or have been shattered by unimaginable trauma, loss, and deprivation. Their safety and access to essential humanitarian aid are not being facilitated as explicitly demanded by international law. Attacks in and around Deir al-Balah killed 5 members of one family, including children, early Sunday morning as they slept in a camp for displaced people. 4 children were killed in Maghazi on Monday as they played in front of their home. Our contributor Abu Bakr Abed has been documenting repeated attacks by Israeli warplanes, helicopters, and tanks in Maghazi, Nusayrat, Burej, and around Deir al-Balah for the last several days. And in Rafah, in southern Gaza, Israel attacked a group of Palestinians lining up to buy flour on Sunday, killing 10 people. Al Jazeera's Hani Mahmoud reported that because of the limited delivery of humanitarian aid going through the southern border, scenes of hunger similar to northern Gaza were also happening in the south. The United Nations stated that the combination of access impediments to aid, ongoing hostilities, the breakdown of public order and safety, the near total lack of commercial good entries, and exorbitant prices of the few basic commodities still available on the market have all contributed to a deterioration in dietary diversity across the strip. In November, bread and legumes have dominated household diets for the 2nd consecutive month, with almost no consumption of vegetables, meat, and eggs. A recent survey conducted by the UN Children's Agency, UNICEF, showed that nearly 100% of children between 6 and 23 months of age and pregnant and breastfeeding women in Gaza City, Deir al-Balah, and Khan Yunis are not meeting minimum dietary diversity, which is defined as receiving foods from at least 4 out of 7 food groups. The UN Agency for Sexual and Reproductive Rights issued a report this week that says that nearly 50 of their trucks loaded with reproductive health equipment and supplies, including medicines that prevent women hemorrhaging during childbirth, tents, disposable sanitary pads, hygiene kits, and generators are stalled at the border waiting to enter Gaza. Some trucks have been stranded since early September, the UN says. Only 41% of planned UN aid movements were facilitated in November. None were permitted to northern Gaza. We've published many features on the Electronic Intifada in the last week, but we wanted to highlight excerpts of this one by Ahmed Majid, a contributor based in Gaza. He writes about his commitment to remain in the north, despite Israeli attacks, which have left him estranged from his wife and child. Ahmed writes, quote, "We refuse to live a second Nakba and experience what our ancestors did in 1948. In October 2023, Ahmed says that his wife's family, quote, evacuated from their house in Tal al-Hawa to a relative's house in Khan Yunis. My wife wanted to go there with them. This story of my displacements and separation from my wife and child for over a year is a chilling example of how Israel is carrying out revenge against all of Gaza. I was determined not to be included in their revenge plans. I did not want to have the Israeli army forcibly displace me. Now I am displaced in the west of Gaza at my cousin's house. I don't know what lies ahead. I don't know what my destiny will be. Are they going to displace us from Gaza City to the south, to the 2 narrow evacuation camps in Khan Yunis and Deir al-Balah? I will continue to refuse any move to the south. What I want is an end to this genocidal war and the return of my wife and child and all the people who have been forced to leave their houses. I'm afraid that my wife and son won't come back to me. Majid, my only child, was 9 months old when I last saw him on October 15th, 2023. I am told to believe he is living with my wife, living in a tent in El Mawasi in Khan Yunis. Majid has walked his first steps away from my eyes, uttered his first words away from my ears. Those precious moments lost can never be reclaimed. Presumably, my wife and I are in the same territory, but we can't reach each other. The Israelis split Gaza into north and south, and none of us can go from one side to the other. My beloved Hanin is an excellent English teacher, talented writer, and critical thinker. I remember our nights watching movies together and analyzing them critically. We used to prepare for classes together, exchanging thoughts and experiences. I'm paying a high price for being separated from my wife and son. My body is in the north, while my soul is in the south. Those are excerpts from I Refuse Any Move to the South on electronicintifada.net. Finally, as we always do, we wanted to share images of people expressing defiance and resilience in the face of Israel's campaign of destruction. This week, Translating Palestine and the Samir Project, local social media and aid groups, honored the sanitation workers in North Gaza. These workers are mostly volunteers receiving irregular and scarce wages, and Translating Palestine and the Samir Project handed out cash in envelopes. The narrator says, quote, "Today is day 430 of the war, and despite the difficult circumstances, they are creating hope. And by cleaning our streets in Gaza, Gaza will be, God willing, even more beautiful than it once was. Sanitation workers are the ones creating hope after 400 days. And that's it for the news roundup. As always, go to electronicintifada.net for much more, especially to read our new features by our brave writers in Gaza. You've been listening to the Electronic Intifada's newscast. I'm Nora Barrows-Friedman. Want to hear more? Check out our live stream with interviews, reports, and analysis, along with print articles, podcasts, and more at electronicintifada.net. Produced by Nora Barrows-Friedman, Tamara Nassar, and Pierre Loisel.